Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello, and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM, your local radio station, with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. And a special welcome to this, the start of a new series of programmes entitled People Who Improved the World. Each one of us comes into the world, then leaves it again. But the challenging question is, will we leave the world a better place than we found it, or a worse place? Will we contribute to the common kitty, or take out more than we put in? As a minister who's conducting funerals all the time, I'm very conscious of these things. I keep giving eulogies at funerals, praising folk for their contributions to society. But between you and me, some folk are easier than others to eulogise about. And in some cases, it's not easy to find lots of positives to say. In one home, I asked the family, "Can you tell me something about your loved one?" And they replied instantly, "He was a poacher." I said, "Yes, yes, but give me something good to say about him at the funeral." "He was a very good poacher," they insisted. Well, in this series, we will be hearing about people who have improved the world quite a bit in their own sweet ways. In this programme, we are celebrating inventors. Where would we be without all the inventions which we often take for granted? So let's get cracking, because there's a lot to pack in, plus some great music tracks in between. I don't know who invented the wheel, but we owe them a lot. But without going back that far, let's start with the 15th century and Johannes Gutenberg in Germany. He invented printing. Printing is such a big part of our lives today, centuries later. Everything ever printed owes a debt to Gutenberg. Before him, every single word was written by hand, painstakingly. He set up his first printing press in Strasbourg in 1450. Many people would argue that his invention was the single most important invention in the second millennium. He printed the Gutenberg Bible, and think of the impact that it has made. Suddenly, everyone could get access to what had belonged to only a few before that. It caused a revolution, or reformation in church terms. Printing also caused revolutions by spreading ideas in science, education, and culture. In 1455, he produced his first edition of the Bible, about 200 copies on paper and vellum. It took 3 years to print, and 21 original copies still exist today. One got sold 50 years ago for £21 million, but now they are valued as priceless. Well done, Johannes Gutenberg, and to celebrate you and the Bible, let's listen to Don Francisco.
How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, has been laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said? Unto you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. And when fiery trials, your half wish alive. My grace, all sufficient, shall be your supply. I'll strengthen you, help you, and cause you to stand. Upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. A soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I will never, no never, no never say. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, has been laid for your faith in His excellent word. A promise of God to His children. I am with you wherever you go.
If we jump a few centuries, we come to Orville and Wilbur Wright, the Wright brothers. Just before Christmas 1903, they were taking turns testing their flying machine called the Flyer at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina in America. Kitty Hawk was famous for its sand dunes, which provided softer landings for failed flight attempts, and there were quite a few. It was Orville's turn when the machine lurched 10 feet up into the air and travelled 120 feet at a speed of 6.8 miles per hour for 12 seconds before coming back to the ground. They made three other flights that day, witnessed by just five onlookers, before announcing to the world that they had made the first controlled, heavier-than-air powered flight. I've seen the actual plane, the Flyer 1, in the National Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. They had been working up to this moment since 1899, using skills they'd learned in their bicycle business. By 1905, they could remain airborne for up to 39 minutes. In 1908, Wilbur made the first European flight at Le Mans in France. Everyone who has ever flown in an aeroplane owes a debt of gratitude to Orville and Wilbur Wright, those magnificent men in their flying machines.
Those magnificent men in the flying machines, they go up and up, up, they go down and down, down. They entrample the ladies and steal all the scenes.
Flying machines.
You are listening to the Holy Half Hour on 3TFM as we celebrate people who have improved the world. In particular, we're thinking about great inventors who have immeasurably enriched our lives. One of these is Guglielmo Marconi was an Italian inventor and electrical engineer who invented the wireless telegraph, the forerunner of the radio. About 1900, he borrowed the vast sum of £50,000 to promote his wireless telegraphy in the navies of Britain, Germany, France, Italy, and the USA. In 1901, he managed to send the first ever transatlantic signal from Cornwall to Newfoundland. That's 2,100 miles. Soon afterwards, he patented the wireless, and in 1909, he received the Nobel Prize for Physics. In 1937, when he died, there was a two-minute silence on all radio stations around the world. Scotland is very proud of its own electrical engineer, John Logie Baird, who invented the world's first working television in 1925. He came from Helensburgh and worked for the Clyde Valley Electrical Company. For the first time ever, sound and pictures could be transmitted together. He called his wireless vision system the televisor. He also patented the phonovisor, the earliest video recorder, and patented a forerunner of radar. John Logie Baird also demonstrated the first electronic colour television in 1944. Years later, we could hear this music as the theme music from a famous TV series, Schindler's List. The invention of the integrated circuit, the microchip, laid the foundation for the entire field of modern microelectronics that now feature as everyday items in all our lives. From those first simple circuits has grown a worldwide integrated circuit market of billions of pounds each year. It is a legacy of two remarkable men. One is Jack Sinclair Kilby, who was working in the Texas Instruments Semiconductor Laboratory in Dallas, Texas in 1958. When working on his own, while colleagues were away on holiday, and working with borrowed and improvised equipment, he conceived and built the first ever electronic circuit, in which all the components were built into a single piece of semiconductor material, half the size of a paperclip. He also invented the handheld calculator and the thermal printer. He had 50 patents in all and got the Nobel Prize for Physics in 2000. Robert Norton Noyce, like Kilby, also came up with the idea of a single wafer or chip of silicon with many transistors all etched into it. This was known as the IC, integrated circuit, which he patented just 4 months after Kilby. So both men are credited with inventing the integrated circuit, or microchip, and their companies patented different aspects of it. Noyce went on to co-found Intel in 1968, which became the world's largest semiconductor company, and in 1971 he oversaw the invention and manufacture of the microprocessor. Morita Akio and Ibuka Masaru co-founded the giant electronics company, the Sony Corporation, in Japan. Sony invented the transistorized pocket-sized radio, and the magnetic tape recorder. In 1960, the world's first transistor television. In 1979, the Walkman portable music player. They invented in 1984 the compact disc player and the CD storage disc. So, let's play a CD right now. It's the love theme from the film The Blade Runner, composed by Vangelis. Bill Gates founded Microsoft, the world's largest personal computer and software company. And since his breakthrough deal supplying IBM with the MS-DOS, it's Microsoft Disk Operating System, in 1981, Microsoft has dominated the world computer market. It's estimated that 90% of all computers in the world use Microsoft Windows, making him one of the richest people in the world. To his credit, he has used his great wealth to form the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and has given away billions of dollars to good causes around the world. Tim Berners-Lee is the computer scientist who invented the World Wide Web, or Internet, in 1991. This radical idea of a global network that connects computer users to vast servers of information has changed the world. Vast resources of information are now readily available to anyone, anywhere in the world, with a computer, tablet, or smartphone. What's even more special and unusual is that Tim Berners-Lee made his invention free for everyone to use. What a magnanimous and generous gesture. The internet has affected every area of life. It has ushered in an information revolution. It has changed working practices. It's become a communication highway, a vast research tool, and a leisure facility. Tim Berners-Lee was described by Time magazine as one of the 100 greatest minds of the century and was knighted by the Queen in 2004. Martin Cooper is generally accepted as being the inventor of the mobile phone. Think of what a revolution the mobile phone has been. Born and educated in Chicago, Martin Cooper joined the electronics company Motorola, with whom he invented the first handheld police radios made for the Chicago Police Department in 1967. Inspired by watching Captain Kirk in Star Trek using his handheld gadget to say to the crew in the Starship Enterprise, "Beam me up, Scotty," Martin Cooper worked very hard to produce the first working cellular telephone prototype called the Motorola Dynatac. In 1973, standing on a street near the Manhattan Hilton, he made a private phone call using his £2.5 or 1 kilogram handset. To the bewilderment of passers-by, he phoned his rival, Joel Engel, the Bell Company's head of research. It took 10 more years to produce a marketable, portable cell phone. It was 16 ounces, that's £1 in weight, and sold for $3,500 each. It took another 7 years to get 1 million subscribers. Today, half the world has one. Mind you, it's only half, and the other half includes Richie Kavanagh here.
Oh, my girlfriend has a mobile phone. Now we can never have a minute alone. The other night I asked her for a kiss. She said, hang on now till I answer this. Oh, this mobile phone, it is a curse, and it makes an awful hole in her purse. With her mobile phone, she gets such a thrill, but her smile disappears when she gets the bill. Oh, my girlfriend has a mobile phone. Now we can never have a minute alone. The other night I asked her for a kiss. She said, hang on now till I answer this. On Sunday it rang in the middle of mass, and all the children thought it was red gas. Some people thought it was the angelus, but the priest on the altar was furious. Oh, my girlfriend has a mobile phone. Now we can never have a minute alone. The other night I asked her for a kiss. She said, hang on now till I answer this. Last week I was courting her in me car, and she was letting me go too far. The next thing her mobile phone did ring, just as I was about to put me hand on her. If you're looking for a girlfriend, now you see, my advice to you would be, if the girl that you fancy has a mobile phone, don't bother about her, just leave her alone. Oh, my girlfriend has a mobile phone, now we can never have a minute alone. The other night I asked her for a kiss, she said, hang on now till I answer this. Oh, my girlfriend has a mobile phone, now we can never have a minute alone. The other night I asked her for a kiss, she said, hang on now till I answer this.
Hello, is that Finna 2222?
No, this is Finna 2222.
I'm sorry for getting out of the bed.
Azra had to come down and answer the phone anyway.
Another amazing inventor is Ivan Getting, the American physicist and electrical engineer who devised the Global Positioning System, or GPS, better known to us as the SatNav, Satellite Navigation System. It has made maps old-fashioned and redundant. We would literally be lost without it. He began by inventing missile systems, including the one which shot down German V-1 rockets during the Second World War. In 1995, he helped the US Air Force to launch 24 satellites, known as the Global Positioning System, GPS, to guide missiles to their targets. Now it's used for air traffic control systems, ships, lorries, cars, mechanized farming, search and rescue, and tracking environmental changes. We need not get lost anymore. Well, that's the theory. But gadgets are limited by the competence of their operators. And if their operators are like the Lancashire hotpots here, I have my doubts.
For a lover than next week, driving mile on mile, it's into gear and away we go. It's not too fast and I'm not too slow, so I never get to click zero, but I end up in Carlisle.
Oh, that's gone, forget sat nav. Get me down to Bison.
Sink,
that's gone, forget sat nav. Buy some old brew, that's gone, forget sat nav. Get me down to pub, right, that's gone, forget sat nav.
a satellite tracking device instead. Get out of the road. Come on, let's get it. This is shouting in me.
It's not my turn, it's this one here.
And all I want is a pint of beer. For Oxford, have a nap. Come to roundabout past the lights. Swung left to shit's right. Mrs. Mullins as she starts a fight. That's forgot to bring the map.
Oh, that's got to get sat down.
Oh, Chris,
get me down to my shop. That's got to get sat down. Buy some old brew. That's got to get sat down. Aye, that's got to get sat nav. Get me a tom-tom or some kind of other satellite tracking device instead.
Paul Lauterbur, an American, and Sir Peter Mansfield, a British man, jointly won the 2003 Nobel Prize for Medicine for their work which had made possible the development of magnetic resonance imaging, known to us as MRI scans. They are great for non-invasive diagnostic tests. An MRI scan is a safe, painless method of providing detailed three-dimensional pictures of organs and other soft tissue structures in the human body. The scanner's like a torpedo tube, a six-foot tunnel-like sort of instrument surrounded by a large circular magnet. Lauterbur got the bright idea in a restaurant and scribbled his thoughts down on a napkin. Mansfield, who left school unqualified at 15, refined the idea. Now daily MRI scans save people's lives. One last inventor I want to mention is Steve Jobs, the American computer technologist and entrepreneur. His company, Apple, is dominant in the computer market, and it keeps coming out with new inventions, like the iMac Macintosh user-friendly computer, the iPod music player, or the iPhone and software. Apple's a global influence in the digital music revolution. It has over 6 billion songs in its iTunes online store. Steve Jobs has also co-founded the Pixar Animation Studios, which has created 8 of the most successful animated films of all time, winning 20 Academy Awards and grossing $4 billion. All of these inventors have given us modern miracles, to the extent that our generation sometimes wonders if we need a God of miracles. We have such power in one finger when we press all the keyboards, we start to think we are self-sufficient, even omnipotent, as human beings. But in our wiser moments, it perhaps occurs to us to thank God for giving us all the inventors and all the inventions. It was God who gave the genius, the creative ideas, the skills, the dynamism, the imagination, and the technical know-how to produce the inventions. And now that we've got such privileges, beyond any other generation in history, and beyond most people alive today, there comes with it the challenge and the responsibility, the accountability to God, and the opportunity to use the inventions for good, not ill, to help others and not harm them. Inventions are neutral in themselves. The question is, what will we use them for? Will we use them to serve God and other people? Will we become co-creators with God? And will we in turn also become people who improve the world? So bye for now, and I'll leave you with Mary McKee and the Genesis.
To know it, I've got to somehow show it. For love is just a candle in a tomb, whose fading light will soon be gone without new breath to urge it on to be. Place of gloom, shine through me, shine through me, Lord, make my life a stream of light for everyone to see. What I need to be, so Shine through me. Shine through me.